This is New Hampshire Calling, a pop-up show from NHPR where we help each other navigate daily life in this time of a pandemic. I'm Jack Rodolico, live in Concord. And tonight, this show is going to be fun. We want to hear about the most memorable performance you ever witnessed, because odds are none of us are going to a theater or concert venue anytime soon. So let's look backwards. Let's reminisce. Call in and wow us. Who did you see and where did you see them? Were you in the stadium when Bruce played Thunder Road? Did you go on tour with the Dead? Maybe your parents took you to see your first show, or maybe they took you to Broadway. What's the music or theater performance you saw that you just can't forget? We're going to take your stories tonight, and then we're going to turn those songs and artists into a playlist that will air on this Thursday night's New Hampshire Calling music show. So we'll put them all together and sort of do some magic and figure out how it all sounds when we put it all together. So call us to tell us about your theater music performance experience you won't forget. 603-513-7700. One more time, 603-513-7700, or email us at nhcalling@nhpr.org. There was lots of news today about the pandemic's impacts on New Hampshire, so while you get ready to call in and talk to us, I'll recap the day's headlines. State officials say new testing suggests the vast majority of New Hampshire residents have not been exposed to the novel coronavirus. So-called antibody tests detect if a person has had the virus, and the test results reveal only 3-4% of New Hampshire residents have. The state's top epidemiologist says it's still not clear what a positive antibody test result means for a person's protection against infection or reinfection from the novel virus. The state didn't announce any new deaths from COVID-19 today, but the death toll did increase over the weekend. It stands at 172 people. The total number of confirmed virus cases in New Hampshire is 3,652. And more businesses are now allowed to open in the state, predominantly those that operate outdoors. Mini golf, outdoor shooting ranges, restaurants with outdoor seating, and others. There is a lot more news about the pandemic in New Hampshire at our website. You can get it all delivered to your inbox by signing up for our coronavirus newsletter. That's at nhpr.org. So tonight, we want you to call in to talk about your most memorable concert or theater experiences. You know, a week or two ago, after we recorded one of our Thursday night music shows, we just got to, those of us here who work on the staff, you know, we got to talking about concerts that we would never forget. It turns out Emily Quirk and Maureen McMurray, who make this show with me every night, were unknowingly at the same Wu-Tang Clan show together back in the day as teenagers, and they were both at an infamous Green Day show where there was a riot. They both deny involvement. Anyway, I think like a lot of what we are all missing right now, it just felt good to talk about a time when life wasn't so complicated, when we could go to a crowded theater or enjoy some music or dance or anything without worrying about a virus. So now I want to invite you to do the same. It'll feel good. What's the show you'll never forget? Did you see Jimi Hendrix? Did you see the original Broadway cast perform West Side Story? Or was it something really close to home, like a Shakespeare production or a middle school play? New Hampshire Calling is live, and our phone number is 603-513-7700. Again, 603-513-7700. You can also email us at nhcalling@nhpr.org. We have got people on the phones already, so let's jump to a couple calls. Right now, let's go straight away to, sorry, I lost my place because things are happening so fast. We got John calling in Lineboro. Did I say, John, I can never remember how to say that town's name. Is it Lineboro?
It is Lineboro. The D is silent.
All right, good. Thank you for that. So what's the show you will not forget?
Okay, so first off, I want to say that I'm old enough that I've seen a ton of shows, and I go to the Jazz Fest in New Orleans, so I've seen so many people. I saw Dylan at the Garden in 74, but with the band, amazing show. But the show I want to talk about was in the early 90s, I was living in Gray, Maine, and I used to drive over to Windham, Maine at the south tip of Sebago Lake to do my laundry. And I was in the laundromat, and I walked across the street to the Muddy Moose record store. And
the Muddy Moose record store. Keep going. I just want to make sure I heard that.
The Muddy Moose record store. So four or five guys come in, and they're doing a promo tour for their first album. And they're out of Canada.
Oh, who's this going to be? I like this story. Keep going.
There was one guy playing bongos, and they were singing harmony a cappella, and there was literally nobody there. I mean, there was two of us looking in the record bins, and that was it, and the employee. So there was probably more band members, or as many band members as there were
than audience.
Other people. So there's like four or five guys in the band. They had the guy in the bongo, and I think somebody had a tambourine, but I can't remember any actual instrument other than the percussion, and they just sang. And they did a couple tunes, and they were super high energy, and you could tell it was great. And they were having so much fun. And it turns out it was the Bare Naked Ladies.
Oh, how cool is that? yeah, at a record shop.
It might have been their first American appearance. I don't know for sure, but yeah.
That is cool. John, thanks for calling in. and Dylan and the band back in the day, that's pretty cool too. Great.
That was amazing.
You got us off to a good start. We're going to have a good playlist on Thursday. I can feel it now. Have a good night, okay? Let's go to Suzanne in Nashua. Hey, Suzanne, welcome to the show.
Wow, big question to answer.
Yes.
One real quick thing before we get to Animal Crackers. Bruce Springsteen, born in the USA, old enough to have been very young, camping out for tickets around RFK Stadium with my brother
wow.
and a couple of friends. We were only allowed to buy four tickets. So I gave two to my brother, and I bought two. And we went to this huge arena that Bruce sold out.
Amazing.
Decent ticket. But my most memorable show was I was actually on the stage.
Oh.
Animal Crackers, way off Broadway. I played multiple roles.
Oh.
And if you remember, it's Hooray for Captain Spaulding, the African Explorer, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And it's a really funny show, like Marco Grouch stuff.
I have never heard of Animal Crackers, I have to be honest.
Animal Crackers is a theater standby, and if anybody has ever played in the theater.
I see.
You know, when you say Animal Crackers is coming back. It's a comedy, you got to go last. The house was packed.
Awesome. And you.
My line was, very well, I'll go trample some little children. And I stamped my heel and I turned around and I ran up this case that the production workers built just for me. And I broke my big toe because I had 4-inch heels on and a gown. I had like 20 costume changes and nobody knew who I was when I came on and off the stage because my costume changes were so fast.
And how long through the show was it before you broke your toe? Like, how much of the show did you have to perform with a broken toe?
It was in scene one.
Scene one, of course.
And I had to stand up on that platform until it faded to black before I could come down off the steps and take the shoes off and get into the next costume. And it was just crazy, but being way off Broadway and being in background production and filling theaters.
Amazing.
It's just my lifeblood. And being backstage with some magnificent, talented people and imagining places like the Palace or places in Concord being dark.
I hear you, Susan. Thank you so much for calling. What a great story. Tonight on New Hampshire Calling, we are talking about your most memorable concert, theater, performance, art experience. You know, none of us can see the shows we want to see right now, so let's just go down memory lane. Tell us a story about the show that you saw you cannot and will never forget. The number is 603-513-7700. Again, 603-513-7700. You can also email nhcalling@nhpr.org. We're going to go to John in Bridgewater. Hey, John, welcome to the show.
Hey, Jack. The show I can't forget because my ears are still ringing from it is I saw Cheap Trick during their Dream Police tour in 1982 when they came to my college, Rensselaer, in Troy, New York. They played at the Houston Fieldhouse, which is the all the UCAC hockey people know is the hockey arena. And at the time, it was a big tin can, and it was insane. It was loud. They played all the good stuff. We were Budokan for an evening.
And you were in college. This is 1982. You were in college.
That's right. You got to get some younger listeners to this show. You got a lot of.
We have a few, as far as we know. But I appreciate that. Yeah, cool, John. Thanks for calling in. What a great show,
have a great
Cheap
one.
Trick. Yeah, thanks.
Thank you.
Let's go to Brian. Brian in Rochester. Hey, Brian, welcome to New Hampshire Calling.
Hey, glad to be here.
Yeah. What's your memorable show?
I got two, actually, because I'm a theater kid and also a kind of a music lover. But I was able to see B.B. King in Manchester on 9/11, like the 9/11.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. I saw B.B. King in Phoenix in, 2004 or 5 on the B.B. King Blues Tour. And, it's like Dr. John and all these great performers. And when B.B. King came out, he tore the roof down. I mean, he was like one of those people who was just a performer. You know, he could play one note, say one thing, and the crowd would just go nutty.
We were all enthralled. I was 13 at the time. My dad took me and a friend, and my friend would not shut up. But I still remember I had just started playing the bass guitar, and, you know, my instructor was big into blues, and I remember, like, I can still hear the bass riff if I think about it hard enough.
Yeah, yeah. And you said there was one other thing. Could you give me that other one real quick?
So, I'm actually a theater administrator in Portsmouth, so I produce theater for a living. But back in high school, we had a production of You Can't Take It With You, which is a 1938 Pulitzer Prize-winning play, we would practice in the auditorium, but so would the sports team. So the softball team kept hitting softballs through our set, and it was raining on dress rehearsal night, and the softball team wanted to practice rather than let us rehearse. And that day, as we found out that we were not going to be able to have that rehearsal, the softball coach fell down the stairs and broke his leg in a piece of poetic poetic justice.
Unreal. Well, you know, you suffer for your art, right? As everybody does. Thanks.
We've
got a broken toe and a broken leg so far on this show, and neither of those were even at a concert with a riot. These were at, like, both Off-Broadway and community theater.
No, I mean, B.B. King was pretty joyous, but I don't think there was a riot there.
Right. Yeah, he wasn't that kind of guy. Cool. Well, thanks for calling in, Brian. We appreciate it. Good to hear from you. We're talking about your most memorable concert live performance theater experience that you can remember, and that brings you a little bit of joy in this pandemic when you can't go out and see any music right now. Call us to tell us your memory, 603-513-7700. That's 603-513-7700. Or email nhcalling@nhpr.org. We've got like 10,000 people on the phones with cool memories. Let's go to Rick in Dover.
How's it going?
It's going good. Welcome to the show, Rick.
The London Calling Tour with the Clash.
No way.
Oh, yeah. Seen them 12 times. I believe it was 1980 at the Orpheum Theater in Boston.
Amazing. That is really cool.
The only band that matters.
Thanks, Rick. We'll keep that short. Thanks very much. Thanks for calling into the show. We're going to take a very quick break and be back with more stories of incredible concert live performance experiences. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is New Hampshire Calling, a pop-up show from NHPR where we help each other navigate daily life in this time of a pandemic. I'm Jack Rodolico, live in Concord. We are having some fun right now. Tonight on the show, we are acknowledging that live performances aren't in most of our near futures. So let's talk about the distant past or recent past. Let's reminisce. Call in to tell us about a memorable live performance you attended. Did you ever come face to face with a rock god or blues legend? Was it the first show you ever saw that's memorable? Or maybe it was the last one before the pandemic started. And we are going to compile all of your stories into a playlist for our Thursday night music show. That'll be this Thursday night. So call us at 603-513-7700. That's 513-7700. Or email nhcalling@nhpr.org. We got emails rolling in right now. We've got Jeff from Barrington saying, one that still stands out to me was my first concert ever. I went to the Mecca Arena in Milwaukee, Wisconsin in 1979. We saw our favorite band, Kiss, and were absolutely blown away at the spectacle of it all. I was 12 and will never forget that show. That would be a tough one to forget when you're 12 years old. I'm going to introduce a guest now. Sam Searles is with me and is going to be with me for the rest of the show. She's an active member of the New Hampshire theater community, part of Queen City Improv, performer with the New Hampshire Theater Awards, and a former intern of NHPR, which is how we met. Hey, Sam, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's good to have you. So let me just ask you this. Memorable doesn't always mean good, right? Like, do you have a fail or a moment, whether for you or someone else, that just like is memorable maybe for the wrong reasons?
Oh, sure. I'll just embarrass myself.
Oh, that's nice of you.
I've definitely been in a bunch of productions where things have gone wrong. I think that's honestly a look back and laugh at it moment. There's never been anything, except for maybe like one pretty traumatic injury where we haven't been able to look back and laugh.
Yeah.
My favorite, or most recent anyway, was during a production at the Hatbox Theater in Concord. It was a comedy, and my character was supposed to leave a room and slam a door. And the second night, I think, of performances, I slammed it a little bit too hard and caused the entire curtain that was masking the left wing and part of the audience's view to come crashing down. So I literally brought down the house and did not mean to.
Thank you for that. And you said that was at Hatbox, right?
Mm-hmm.
In Concord. You know what's funny is Andrew from Hatbox Theater is on the line right now. And you two must know each other. Hey, Andrew, welcome to the show.
Hi. Yeah, we know each other pretty well, don't we, Sam?
Yeah. Should we tell them? Or are
you
we going to tell
ahead.
Them? Okay. Andrew and I had to kiss quite a lot in this show that I'm talking about right now.
Oh,
so, yeah.
My.
We know each other very well.
I want the audience to know this was not planned.
It was not planned.
We did not set you both up for that. But, hey, you're performers. You're professionals. So Andrew, you know, what is your memorable performance experience, the thing you won't forget?
Oh, I have had so many experiences. It's amazing having such a neat little venue like Hatbox. I get to see hundreds of performances every year. And back when I was in college, going to New York and seeing Into the Woods when it was on stage. But probably one of my favorite memories was actually seeing Raul Julia playing the part of Don Quixote in Man of La Mancha in Boston.
That is cool. Wow.
It was really spectacular seeing him on stage, his presence, and just the sheer enormity of that musical piece. And we were actually slotted to stage that at Hatbox this July, and unfortunately we've postponed it till next year at this point. You know, my girlfriend at the time went with me. She's now my lovely wife, and has been for some time. And it was a really great experience for me, a formative experience to, you know, witness somebody with such presence to come out and just transport us to another world, one in which we had hopes and dreams, and we're looking forward to a bright future. And that kind of resonates with today.
Awesome, Andrew. Thank you so much for calling in, and I hope Hatbox gets open as soon as possible.
We hope so, too. Nice to hear from you, Sam. Take care.
Yeah.
You too.
And Sam, you were supposed to be performing at Hatbox this summer.
That's correct, yeah. And in August, I was supposed to be in a production called The Great Atlantic and Pacific Shakespeare Company, about a failing Shakespeare company. It's kind of a dramedy, I guess. It's an original production, which is really cool. I was really looking forward to that. So yeah, I'm kind of bummed. Hopefully it'll still be able to get mounted in a few months or however long. But
well, that's why we have you here tonight. We're just, you know, we'll just act like the world is okay, and we're just going to talk about the good stuff. So we got a lot of people on the phone, Sam. Let's go to Sue in Deerfield and see what she's got to say. Hey, Sue.
Hello?
Yeah, there you are, Sue. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So what's your story? Yeah, go ahead.
This was back in probably 1967, 68, 69, somewhere around there. And my parents in Rowe, Massachusetts, used to have après ski parties, and they were throwing a barn dance. And they had the Monks, who Brad Delp was one of the singers in the Monks, and he then later went on to be the lead singer of the band Boston.
Oh, and so you saw him. What year was this again?
I want to say like 67, 68. I was like 9 years old, and here this band was playing in my barn, and the band ended up spending the night, and I came down in the morning, and they were all passed out on the living room floor, and it was pretty memorable.
Unreal.
For a nine-year-old.
That's pretty cool. You were 9 years old. That's amazing. Thanks, Sue, for calling in with that memory.
Yeah,
I appreciate it. And Sam, you saw someone like way back before they were a big thing, right?
Oh, yeah. I was trying to think of the year for this, and I want to say 2013. In the wave of Justin Bieber wannabes, there was this guy named Austin Mahone, who my sister and I really liked. So we went to go see his show at the SNU Center, which was the Verizon Center way back then. And opening up for him was two groups. One was Fifth Harmony, which, you know, later went on to split up and then produced Camila Cabello, who's really big. And then, but before them was this very skinny boy who just came out with a guitar and sang a little bit. And I was like, who is this dude? And that was Shawn Mendes. And he ended up becoming way bigger than you know, Austin Mahone.
Yeah. It's like that, you know, those moments when you don't, when you look back on, right? so let's go. We got more people on the line. Let's go to Tim in Limerick, Maine. Hey, Tim, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for taking my call. This is wonderful. The greatest one, of course, was I did go to Woodstock and saw that, but I was never up close or anything like that as I was for front row for Janis Joplin, Keene State. But my most memorable one was Bob Dylan at the University of Lowell, and he was doing the Rolling Thunder tour.
Unreal.
And he had Joan Baez with him, and I went home that night and wrote a song, a little poem about seeing the master of poetry and the princess of voice, and I'll never forget that concert.
Unbelievable.
That was absolutely fantastic.
That's unbelievable.
I went right from, at 14 years old, went right from Roy Orbison and Gene Pitney when my brother brought in the Bob Dylan album. That changed my life.
Tim, I've been telling anybody who'll listen for years that if there's one person I could go back in time to see, it would be Janis Joplin, too. And I would love to see her. And since you're on the phone, we actually have another Tim on the line right now. You're in Limerick, Maine. This Tim is in Concord, New Hampshire, where I am. And he was at the more recent Woodstock. Tim, tell us about that.
Hi, how are you?
All right.
So I was at the Woodstock 2, and there was also a Green Day show with Riot. It started because of a group called WOMAD. Everyone thought WOMAD was just this group that would come on, play a few songs before Green Day, and get out of there. No, WOMAD is a series of world music acts put on by Peter Gabriel. So it was a whole bunch of artists that would come on and play a few shows or play a few songs. And people were just getting so impatient, shouting, Green Day, Green Day. And these poor guys on stage, one of them had no clue what anybody's saying. He just hears people screaming. He's waving, smiling. So he plays an encore, and they just get even more upset. And eventually, Green Day comes on, everyone loses their mind. It gets ugly, and a fight starts between them and security. People start throwing mud chips. It was horrible, but right before all of that went down, my friend and I are standing there, and the people next to us go, "Man, this sucks. Why don't they just bring on Green Day, right?" And my friend and I just kind of look at each other, and we go, "Yeah, we're actually here for WOMAD." And they thought we were joking. We're like, "No, Peter Gabriel, world music, man, yeah." And okay. it was great. And Bob Dylan was also at that at Woodstock too.
Yeah.
I'm sure he was better in the 60s.
Right. And Tim in Concord, thanks for calling. Tim in Limerick, Maine, you know, did you ever
As
see
I said about Janis, just so you know, okay, I was front row for Janis at Keene State College. She was dancing, of course, like crazy right in front of me and everything. I put my hands on the stage because it almost looked like she was inviting me to come up and dance with her. And she goes, no, they'll throw your ass out of here. Oh, excuse me, your butt out of here. I mean, she literally talked to me and spoke to me that once.
Unbelievable.
But I've seen Dylan about 12 or 14 times, and he's been fantastic every time that I've seen him.
Yeah, I got to see him twice, and it's an experience. Cool, thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks, Tim. I appreciate it. We've got emails. Geraldine from Salisbury says, Chicago at the Hampton Beach Casino in 1969. Low ceiling, very smoky room, 25 or 6 to 4. Marv says, I saw Beach House last year at a park in Northampton, Mass. It was an outside show and just mesmerizing. They were so good. And Sam, outdoor shows, like, that's what I'm going to miss. I'm sure we'll go back to it someday. I know. But, like, have you got a good memory from an outdoor show?
Yeah. I mean, I was in one, which was really cool.
That's memorable.
Yeah. The cool thing about that is just you forget that you're outside sometimes, and so I think to me that's more impressive to watch as a performer, to see those kind of things, because you have to deal with all of the elements and lighting and all that kind of stuff, but. I miss outdoor shows for sure.
Yeah. Well, let's go to Elizabeth in Boscawen. Hey, Elizabeth.
Hi there. How are you tonight?
I'm great. I'm having a lot of fun. How about you?
Oh, gosh. This is bringing back lots of memories. When I first heard it this morning, the first thing I thought of was probably one of the most seasonal songs I thought of. But then as I've been listening to people...
Elizabeth, speak up a little bit. You sound really far from the phone.
Oh, I'm sorry. As I was listening to people, I was thinking about all the people I had seen in my life. And as a little child, my parents took me to see a jazz clarinetist, Pete Fountain. And I ended up on stage singing with him.
Oh.
And then I remember seeing Pink Floyd in Worcester, Mass.
Oh, wow.
B.B. King at the Casino Ballroom. Keith Urban in Manchester, where he always gives a guitar away to some young artist. It was really cool.
Elizabeth, sorry, there's a really scratchy phone line, but it sounds like you've seen a string of legends, and we appreciate hearing from you. Let's go to Claude in Milford.
Hi.
Hi, how are you? Welcome to the show.
Great. The best show I ever saw was Bob Marley at the Apollo in New York.
Unbelievable. I cannot believe you got to see Bob Marley.
It was almost a religious experience.
I don't think envy or jealousy expresses the word I'm feeling right now. I've seen the Wailers twice. They still perform. They come through New Hampshire regularly.
Right. Yeah, I see them too, yeah.
Yeah, but man, what about it was like a religious experience?
Well, it was just wonderful. First of all, it was at the Apollo before that area was fixed up, and a lot of people said, oh, don't go, it's dangerous up there and everything. But we went anyhow, and it was just a wonderful experience.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd seen Marley already about two or three times. I think I've seen Marley four times, but only three times I can remember. But the Apollo was just phenomenal. It was shortly before his death, you know, not too long before his death.
Right.
But it was just a memorable, memorable performance. I mean, he was just mystical. I mean, you know, with No Women, No Cry, Redemption Song, you know, it was just unbelievable, unbelievable.
So cool. Thanks. Thank you for that. You made me smile tonight. I appreciate hearing from you, Claude.
Okay, good luck. Thanks.
We're talking about your memorable concert or live performance experience, the thing that you cannot, will not forget. Call us to tell us your story. Man, we are hearing about a string of legends, and really small shows, too. Call us to talk, 603-513-7700. The number is 603-513-7700, or email nhcalling@nhpr.org. Laura is calling from Wolfboro. Hey, Laura, welcome to the show.
Hi. Hey, this is a lot of fun. Thank you.
I agree. We're having a good time. Now, tell us who you saw.
Well, it was about 1986. I was in Tucson, Arizona,
mm-hmm.
and a small venue called the Hotel Congress. It was kind of an alternative club. And a RuPaul.
Ah.
RuPaul came all the way from Georgia.
You think
RuPaul in 1986.
You know,
long before transvestites were a thing. So it was very alternative where we were.
Well, perhaps. But so, Laura, thanks for calling. Sam, I was right about to ask you, of everything you've heard so far, which is the one that you would have chosen yourself to go to? Is it RuPaul? Is that the one?
Yeah, definitely him or Janis Joplin. I mean, all of them, to be honest. I kind of wish I had a time machine and I could jump back and forth and see people, you know. I would have loved to have seen Earth, Wind & Fire in Chicago back when, you know, they were just getting started.
Oh, yeah.
I've sent my parents a couple times to see them when they come through, but I grew up listening to that kind of stuff, so to be able to see it live.
Yeah.
So jealous.
I know, right? It's like if you could put them all together for a super group, too, that would be pretty cool. We got emails here. Robin says, my Aunt Beth took me and my sisters to an Elvis Presley show in Tampa in 1953. Lots of screaming teens. My sister was in the final fan rush of the stage, which Elvis knelt at the edge for and claimed she touched him. Robin, I don't know if I believe her, but thank you for your email. What a lovely story. Ken from Woodstock says, I was living in Atlanta, Georgia in the fall of 1966. Barbara Streisand was performing in the original Braves stadium there. She was very pregnant, and when she sang Silent Night, the entire stadium was totally silent. Amazing. Amazing is right. Again, like, these stories are awesome. Let's go.
That's like theater royalty.
Which one? Say it again.
That's theater royalty, Barbara Streisand.
Seeing Barbara Streisand, absolutely. Yeah, we're getting, you know, just, we have a lot of people on the phones, but briefly, let's reflect on, like, the range of kinds of royalty. We've got a reggae legend, we got rock and folk legends, and theater legends so far. Am I missing something?
I feel like you're covering everything. It's amazing the range that we've gotten so far.
Yeah, okay, so let's keep going. We got Hugh in Hanover. Hey, Hugh, welcome to the show.
Thanks for the show. I listen all the time.
Awesome.
So I have a rock and roll story and a theater story.
Okay.
In the late 70s or early 80s, when we lived in New Orleans, Louisiana, we went to a show at the Warehouse, which was basically a dirt-floored warehouse with a stage, maybe 500 people. And we went to see Journey, who were great. They did a fantastic show. The middle group was a group called Montrose, this kind of blues rock group. And the lead on group, or the first group, the lead on group was a group nobody had ever heard of before, but they did this electrifying guitar work, and the lead singer was jumping all over the stage, and they almost stole the show. And that was Van Halen. So 8 or 9 months later, there's a big show at the Louisiana Superdome with 85,000 people. The headliner group was the Rolling Stones. The second group was the Doobie Brothers, who I've seen 12 mm-hmm. times. And the lead-on group was a group that everyone had heard of, Van Halen. So they had gone from a dirt-floored warehouse to the Louisiana Superdome with 85,000 people.
Amazing. You got to start somewhere. And it sounds like you were there for the beginning of it. Cool. Thanks for calling into the show. We appreciate it.
Sure. The theater performance was wife won tickets to a theater show. And she said, well, let's go. It's a one-woman show with Shirley MacLaine. And I said, one-woman show? What's that going to be like? But I went, and I have to say that it was maybe the most memorable theater performance I have ever seen in my life. She sang. She danced. She did skits where she played five different parts. She did stand-up. It was the most amazing theater performance that I've ever seen.
So cool. And
to this day, I thank my wife for making me go.
That's great. Thanks so much. We're going to go right over to Rick in Milton. Hey, Rick, thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks for having me. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great. I feel like I'm living a fever dream here of music history.
I have lots of, I've been to a lot of shows, and I'll just say some things, and anything you want to talk about, I'll talk about. But I saw the Grateful Dead with Bob Dylan and Tom Petty.
Oh.
And the Grateful Dead opened because they were switching who was headlining, and half the stadium left after the Dead were done, and I got right up front with Dylan and Petty, and it was in the Heartbreakers, and it was fantastic. And I've seen many, many good Neil Young concerts. Talking about, like the previous call, theatrical, that Greendale tour was outstanding.
Oh, I saw that tour. That was crazy. It was like a, was like a theater. It was a mix between theater and music and Rick,
and rock and roll.
Yep. Yep. And Rick, I want to tell you two things. One is you made our show producer's day, Emily Quirk, by bringing up the Grateful Dead. She really appreciates that. And the other thing is I saw Tom Petty a lot. I love Tom Petty. And I once worked at Jones Beach Amphitheater on Long Island where I grew up, and he was playing a show, and I went in early. I sold popcorn and stuff like that, and I was in the venue when they were warming up, and they played Green Onions, that Booker T song.
Yeah.
And to an empty stadium. I was like, I think I was the only one in there. It was
soundcheck or something.
Soundcheck. It was a soundcheck. Yeah, it was really cool. Rick, thanks for reminiscing.
Hold on. Can I say one more thing?
Make it quick, yeah.
I'd like to ask a question for your actress friend.
Oh, Sam?
She's still there?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Hello. I'm 56 years old and, you know, looking for a hobby, and I'd like to get into some local theater and just do some bit parts. Do you have any suggestions?
Oh, my goodness. Music to my ears. Hello. Yes. Yes. Always yes. Theater, community theater especially, has such a hard time finding men. It's kind of ridiculous. If you think you have anything, just Google places that are holding auditions near you. Usually they'll post them on Facebook. You can follow New Hampshire Community Theater on their website or on Facebook. But we're consistently holding auditions for things. Some of them have even done virtual auditions in the hopes that as soon as stuff opens back up, they can hit the ground running with things. But yeah, I would definitely just Google community theaters near you and get on their email list. But we always need more guys. And we always need more people.
Yeah. And just to jump in, I would say, Rick, if you email us nhcalling@nhpr.org, we can, you know, connect you, with maybe Sam, or, you know, just maybe help you find some stuff to follow up with. Okay.
Well, that would be great. And, one more thing, I got Lucinda Williams to sign the back of my tie dye, and I told her, she's like Bob Dylan. She tours all the time, and she loved it. She goes, he says I'm like Bob Dylan.
Thanks, Rick. Don't forget to email us at nhcalling@nhpr.org. We're going to go to a quick break here. We got more people on the phones, but who is what's the performance you will never forget? We're running out of time. Call us to let us know, 603-513-7700. Stay with us. Welcome back. This is New Hampshire Calling, a pop-up show from NHPR where we help each other navigate daily life in this time of a pandemic. I'm Jack Rodolico, live in Concord. Tomorrow night on New Hampshire Calling, we are going to be looking forward. Here's our idea. We know that none of us wanted this pandemic, and all of us want it to go away, but it is here. It has changed our lives. And we want you to think about what this pandemic has taught you. What routine have you changed and hope to keep in the future? Who or what have you come to appreciate? What has this pandemic taught you to value? That'll be tomorrow night on New Hampshire Calling. But as always, call or write in advance to leave a message. The number is 603-513-7700 or email us at nhcalling@nhpr.org. Right now, we are asking you to call in to regale us, and you are, with the story of your most memorable concert experience or theater experience. Was it your first show when you were a teenager? Was it one more recently, maybe the last one before the pandemic hit, or something in between? And as a reminder, we are taking all of these suggestions, and there are a lot of them, and we are going to compile them into a playlist for our music show this Thursday night, which is going to be, I can tell already, that's going to be a pretty cool show. Sam Searles is with me. She's an active member of the New Hampshire theater community, part of Queen City Improv, performer with the New Hampshire Theater Awards. And Sam, you know, nice question there at the end, the last segment about trying to get involved in local theater. You know, and you know, what's interesting is you are much younger than that gentleman. You're in your 20s. He was in his 50s. Is it a thing that people at any age in New Hampshire could find a role?
Oh my gosh, yeah. No, like I said, I got started when I was, I had done some productions within my homeschool group and stuff, but I got started with the Palace's youth program when I was 17. So, you know, I was pretty young, but I have been in productions. I think the biggest age range of production I was ever in was a production of Pippin with the Actors Singers in Nashua. And we had people in that show as young as, I think, 9 or 10 and as old as mid-60s, I want to say.
Cool.
So, yeah, it doesn't matter, you know, your age or, you know, whatever. That's the one thing I love about theater. You know, it's this really big family.
Yeah.
And, you know, it brings in everybody.
Awesome. We got so many people writing and calling in. Suzanne says, I was at the Bob Weir show at the Hampton Beach Club Casino the day Jerry Garcia died. It was quite a scene inside and out, as you can imagine. It was very emotional, and the music was amazing. Mark from Canaan, February 1977, Old Boston Garden, Queens, A Day at the Races Tour. Unbelievable. And Stacy from Ashland, my best concert was the 1992 Lollapalooza at Great Woods, Massachusetts. Pearl Jam, Red Hot Chili Peppers, and Soundgarden were all playing. Great day. Again, like, I feel like this would all be a pretty great summer tour if we got all these folks together, but that's not going to happen. So let's just move on to Ivy.
Virtually.
It would be nice. Yeah, virtually. Yeah, a Zoom performance. Ivy's calling from Farmington. Hey, Ivy, welcome to New Hampshire Calling.
Hey, thank you.
No problem.
Good to hear the show. And so my genre of music is a little bit different, but the most memorable concert was at Boston Symphony Hall, and it was with the Boston Pops.
Mm-hmm.
And they did a tribute to all the sound tracks that John Williams wrote for music for movies.
Incredible. And John Williams, and, you know, Star Wars, Jaws, on and on and on.
E.T.
Yeah.
E.T., thank you, Sam.
He was the guest conductor that night.
Hmm. John and Williams behind, was.
Yes. And behind the orchestra were clips from all the different movies as he conducted the orchestra that Boston Pops in the music that he had written. And the piece de resistance of the evening was Itzhak Perlman, played the theme from Schindler's List.
Oh, my goodness. Whoa. Wow.
And it was so fabulous. The hall was packed, but when he finished, there was absolute silence in that hall. It hung in the air for, I would say, a good 7, 8, 9 seconds. Nobody moved. Nobody clapped. It was just, you could tell everybody knew. They just experienced a moment like no other.
Yeah. Ivy, what a wonderful story. Thank you so much and a great memory for sharing it with us tonight.
You're welcome.
Okay. Let's go to Sue in Henniker.
Hey.
Hey, how are you?
Great. So I am working at home remotely, but I love your show. I love listening to it every night.
Thank you.
And
I'm so glad
I
to hear that.
Called in to say that when I was an undergrad, I used to hang out with Bonnie Raitt.
You used to hang out with Bonnie Raitt?
Bonnie Raitt, yes. I didn't hang out with her, but she was back in the 70s. She was just starting off and doing concerts in college cafeterias and stuff. And so I would get on stage with Bonnie Raitt with a little bottle of whiskey. That's when she was drinking. She's sober now and she's vegan. But and when she was with Freebo, And it was awesome. And so that's how I got hooked on Bonnie.
That's a pretty cool story. Yeah,
wow.
And I'm sure she was amazing. As you know, in a small venue like that, I can't even imagine it. Thanks, Sue, for calling in. We've got another Sue on the line. This one calling from Bristol. Hey, Sue from Bristol, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you, Jack. That's great to be able to call in.
Absolutely.
So, the very first concert I ever went to, I was living in Bayside, Queens, New York, and it was at Singer Bowl in Flushing Meadow. Wherever that was, in Queens.
Yeah.
And the first act was this girl from California that I had never heard of before, and that was Janis Joplin.
Oh, you're killing me.
It was amazing. And then the second band was Chambers Brothers, but the lead act was Jimi Hendrix.
You saw Janis Joplin and Jimi Hendrix on the same night?
On the same night. And it was so... It was my very first concert. And this was 1969. And I was discussing with my boyfriend, you know, I was going to get the tickets. And like, I don't know, the tickets were $7. It was really expensive. So we got, you know, $5 tickets instead. And it was like... I just remember going back and forth saying, I don't know, $7 is kind of a lot of money.
Oh, man. If we were giving out awards tonight, I think we'd give one to you. Thank you for calling in. That is really cool. And it does look like so far Janis Joplin is the fan favorite for the evening. Thanks for calling in. We appreciate hearing from you. And let's go now to Peter in Tamworth.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you, Jack?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I got a story. It's kind of funny, actually, but it also involves my favorite band who I finally get to see in concert. When I was a kid, I got into, after the Love Stinks album came out by Jay Giles, I got into them heavily. I loved them. And there were concerts that used to play up here in Maine and Portland. Of course, I never had a car, never had a friend who would take me, so I never went. So I was aching to see these guys. And I used to sit in my bedroom at night or any time during the day listening to their albums. I would take my music stand and I would lip sync Peter Wolf singing, or I'd do air guitar, I'd do drums, I'd do keyboard, the whole nine yards. It was all a spectacle.
Yeah.
So many years later, I'm living in Vermont. And a friend of mine from work says, hey, I got these Jay Giles tickets, and he's playing on the Lake Champlain ferry. And it's a ferry that goes out. They take tours out on Lake Champlain. And I'm thinking, oh, my God. And she said, you want to go? And I'm like, yes, of course I want to go.
Do me a favor. We're really low on time here. So get to the but get to the punchline for me.
So I went to see Jay Giles. It was one of the best concerts I've ever been to. Unfortunately, Wolf was gone. Seth Justman was gone. And this is before Jay Giles passed away and everything. But it was really, really cool.
Awesome, Peter. Thank you so much for calling in. Sam, I just want to give you a taste of the calls that we did not get to, the people who are on hold, and we will not have time for, okay? John,
sure.
John also saw Janis Joplin, and he's going to miss regional theaters. Kevin from Halifax, Vermont, worked at Woodstock. Lisa from Brookline, Vermont. We talked about her, Bonnie Raitt. Gary in Portsmouth. What is this note? Was Santa for Boston? I'm not sure what that means, but it sounds wild. That's a misspelling. What? Santana. Santana. Okay, Santana and Boston. Melissa saw Jimmy Cliff, and Joe in Derry saw The Dead with The Who in Munich, wow. Germany, and saw Jay Giles give 7 encores. If we could hear all these stories, that would have been great. We did not have enough time, but I am so grateful to everyone who called in. Sam, thank you so much. I hope I get to see you again soon. And I hope you get to perform soon, too.
Same here.
Yeah. Thank you to everyone who called in or wrote in tonight. You make this show what it is. Also, thanks to Sam Searles and Neil Pankhurst. New Hampshire Calling is produced by Emily Quirk. Pete Nakos is our community engagement producer. Corey Princell is NHPR's managing editor. Maureen McMurray is our show's executive producer. This is New Hampshire Calling. I'm Jack Rodolico. I am not worthy. And remember, we are all in this together.